AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you. Matt Patrick here today. Howdy, Patrick. Have you been out? In, it is not pleasant warm.
I got here early enough that it wasn't too bad when I arrived.
It's like a plank hitting you in the face when you go back outside. Just FYI. I went out to – I had a listener. Now, because, you know, I don't know if you see – I do all these walks now because that's kind of the – even though I could go to the Y. The Y, I do believe, is open in some capacity. The time I go to the Y is generally in the morning. It's the best time that works for me. And the vast majority of people who are in there are in coronavirus's target demo. And so I'm sorry. I'll pass. I'll just pass. Because like I said, with coronavirus, you can have it and you have no idea. No temperature. You're not feeling bad. And I'd feel horrible if I found out, oh, by the way, you had coronavirus. And, oh, by the way, I've been at the gym like six times. And all of a sudden people there start getting sick. So I have not gone back to the gym. I have instead been doing hikes around the Twin Cities metro area. And Heidi, a listener, knowing I've been doing walks, she said, I got a butte for you. And she was not lying. Holy cow, I didn't even know this place existed. So first of all, Patrick, how many of the areas in town do you know of where you can see both downtowns from ground level in Minneapolis, downtown Minneapolis, downtown St. Paul?
Just one.
Which one?
Mendota Bridge.
The Mendota Bridge. Indian Mounds Park over Mounds Park over in St. Paul, you can do it as well. The Mendota Bridge, indeed. You can be on the Mendota Bridge, and you, because of the way the rivers are, you see Minneapolis and you see St. Paul. And by the way, Minneapolis is actually quite a bit higher up elevation-wise than St. Paul, but you can still see both of them because you have a – because of the rivers. They basically give you a clear shot from that point up the river valleys to the downtowns. So I get told, and the reason I bring that up is because this hike, it is a Native American site at the end of Pilot Knob Road. I had no idea it was up here. And as a matter of fact, I actually did a hike one day where we parked on the other side of this highway by that old church that's there and hiked across the Mendota Bridge to Fort Snelling and then back. And so, but on the other side of the highway, kind of, I guess, on the Highway 55 side of the highway would be the best way to say it, Pilot Knob Road just kind of ends, and there is a nature hike there. First of all, I love lakes. I love water. I love trees. I love a forest. I love a good forest. But sometimes prairie hikes are the absolute best. And there is, when it's warm out and it's summery out and the flowers are out and you can smell the sweet smell of summer grass, oh my gosh, that's as good as it gets. And that's what you had. I had that. Native Americans have a tribal site there. Some of the tribes have a site there for ceremonies and such, which is really cool. They got very, very descriptive signs of telling you all about the area. And it makes sense. I mean, Pilot Knob, if you don't know the term, and I might not have this correct. If you know the official term for this, you can call me and correct me. Please do. Pilot Knob is a nautical term for ships on the river for kind of a hill where there's kind of – is there a break on either side? Because remember, you're going up these rivers. Many of the times you had big hills there. And so if you had a point, an identifiable point that was by itself, there you go. And that was Pilot Knob. And that was why they called it Pilot Knob. And I believe that's kind of one of the reasons why the Mendota Bridge goes through there is because there was a natural place. They didn't have to blast apart half of a mountain – or a hill, rather. Mountain, come on. It's Minnesota. Come on. Let's not get delusions of grandeur. Blast apart part of a hill – to get a road through, they actually had a natural area to do it. And so it truly is spectacular. It's a little bit of a downhill. It's the lower part of that trail, not nearly as clean as the upper part of that trail because they're in the process of getting that trail finished up. But I got to tell you, for if you want to take kids out and just look at just pristine prairie, what it looked like when the Native Americans were the residents here, by all means, you need to go check that out because it is spectacular. And they have these really cool information guides that tell you all about the Native American heritage of the area. For God's sakes, pick one up and read it. The age of us being ignorant because of our own lack of willing to learn is over, okay? It is really nice. And it was – there also – here's the benefit. This is the reason why I'm saying this is because you come around the corner and then all of a sudden the first thing you see is one of the prettiest views of Minneapolis I have ever seen. One of the absolute prettiest views of Minneapolis. And as I sat there, I was looking at the city, and as all the city has gone through, I love this town. I love this town with the fire of a million suns. I have lived other places. I've lived in rural America. I have lived on the East Coast. I've lived overseas. I have lived in northern Minnesota. I have lived in Wisconsin. Ugh. Beloit. Ugh. First radio job. Beggars can't be choosers. But I love this town. And yeah, I think this is the reason why so many of us were in such pain for so – and still am today – is it's not just the fact that the Minneapolis police decided to murder a man on tape and they still think that they did nothing wrong, for God's sakes. I'll come back to that in a second. But as well, it's just the watching what happened afterwards and watching protesters be replaced by arsonists and looters and vandals. They're arresting those people. They're charging those people, which is good. But I want to Chappelle, if you've not seen David Chappelle's special that he just did for I believe for Netflix, I watched it last night and he makes two exceptional points. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to ruin go see it, but there is one point I do think that he has, because he looks at the police and the police are like, I don't understand why you people are so upset. I don't understand why you people are so upset. And he describes the story of this individual who clearly – he created his own manifesto and started going after cops in Los Angeles. And it was, you know, pretty scary stuff. And, you know, they were really concerned. And not only did he go after police officers, but he went after police officer families. It was really scary stuff. When they finally cornered the guy – as Chappelle describes it, 400 cops got there and turned the man into Swiss cheese. Now, I want you to stop for a second and think about that. Did they need to send in all those officers? No, but they all ran over there, the guns pulled, because they wanted a piece of the action. And they shot that guy, and as Chappelle describes it, turned him into Swiss cheese. That feeling is exactly what's going on right now in the city of Minneapolis. The African-American community has seen time and time and time again, not just the murdering, and I'm not dismissing or, you know, downplaying the murders of African-Americans. It is not just that element. It is the fact that African-Americans get harassed. African-Americans are jailed more. African-Americans get harsher penalties. African-Americans can't walk down the freaking street without a cop in Minneapolis basically coming over there and trying to ruin their day. How long would you take it? How long would you take it? And the city, when it got to George Floyd, when it protested and they realized that the protesters were not backing down after the Tuesday night, even though that the police were clearly out of control on Tuesday night, shooting without warning, shooting at media, shooting rubber bullets, shooting tear gas canisters, no warning whatsoever, just randomly firing into crowds. And we got video footage of that. I mean, I'll never forget that. The Tuesday night, the cops basically saying, you know, I'm the bully, I'm going to give you another wedgie, that sort of thing. But as it grew on Wednesday and it got to the fires and it got to the looting and it got to the rioting, that was the same. It was the same raw base human emotions that the police had when they gunned down that suspect, only it wasn't the police. So don't the police, when the police look out there and say, I don't understand this, you're not trying to understand this. Because the reality is everyone kind of gets like this at times. If you are constantly living in fear, and as Chappelle didn't point out, but I the first thing I thought about is, yeah, it wasn't like those officers were living for 20 years under that strain, 20 years under that weight. The annual death of a black man in a community, killed because they were running away, killed because they were black, killed because they were breathing, killed because Derek Chauvin showed up. Regardless of whatever the case may be, the San Diego maneuver, because Philando Castile, you know, scared him because he told him I have a gun on me and had his hands on the wheel before the Yanez blew, blasted his entire revolver into the car. How long could you take it? Because I can tell you right now, I think the reality is the African-American community, as berated as they have been, and this goes for the Native American community and the Latino community as well, the Asian community. Minority communities have been patient. They have been sitting there and waiting for white America to wake up. Waiting for the political leaders to say, Jesus, God, man, what's going on in that city? Why are African Americans just being killed left and right? Instead of what happens nowadays, which is Republicans basically looking at the police and say, keep up the good work. It pains me what happened to this town. It pains me. I sat up there. I was sitting up on the hill of Pilot Knob, and I was looking over at Minneapolis. Planes were coming off MSP. All the traffic on Highway 55 going across the Bedote Bridge. As you looked at the city, there were no fires. There was no unrest. There was no curfew. It's just my city, and here I am sitting in this field with a clear view of the downtown. Birds, just magnificent birds and flowers and the smell of that sweet summer grass. As I look across the river and I see my city. And at no point did I ever question my love for that city. We got problems. We definitely have some problems. And we have problems that we have allowed to fester for way too blanking long. We have. And if we don't deal with these issues, the complicated ones, which might mean shutting down the Minneapolis police and starting all over again, will mean at the very least some major changes at the Minneapolis Police Department. At the very least. The reality is that the city will recover. And the question I have for you is this. Back in 1967, we had troubles in Minneapolis, Plymouth Avenue. And here we are, 50 years later, revisiting it. Make a pledge with me. We're done with this. We're done with this. We're not going to revisit this. We're not going to have this happen again. History does not have to repeat itself yet once again, that we can all, as human beings, what race am I? The human race. That's what race I am. That we all together don't have to watch a subsect of our society constantly living under the threat of violence, the threat of police harassment, the threat of death. Let's learn. Let's make the city stronger. And just pledge with me like I feel right now that I'll never stop loving you, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I'll never stop loving you, Minnesota. And we'll get through this together. We will. It's just going to take some time and a commitment to freaking learn. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break and come on back after the break. I'll take some calls. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19-inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com.
Minnehaha Falls Landscaping creates outdoor environments that grow beauty and support health and wellness. We provide everything needed for people and pollinators to grow healthy together in the home landscape. Contact us for landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, rain gardens, and bee lawns. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping is a business rooted in healthy soil. We rely on soil health to beautify landscapes, restore ecosystems, and protect pollinators. We love sharing our soil secrets with everyone. Visit us at MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
Hi, this is Paul Metza. Thanks for listening to the Wall of Power Radio Hour for the last 5 years on AM 950. We air every Saturday night at 6 p.m. We have artists, musicians, private detectives, politicians, and more. On AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hey, this is Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Join me and Desi Doyen weeknights on AM 950 at 7 p.m. for the Bradcast. 1 hour of interviews, analysis, news, and snark that you need but won't get from the corporate media. Join me for the Bradcast, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning knows it's June when us Minnesotans finally stop talking about how cold it is and start talking about how hot it is, which is the perfect time for Standard's Summer Is Here sale. During June, you can save $900 on a new air conditioner with payments as low as $47 a month for 0% financing. Find out more about these great savings at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Steve is in Minneapolis and wanted to chime on in. Steve, thanks for holding. Welcome on into the show.
Hi. Yeah. First, I want to thank you for clearing up that Pilot Knob thing. I thought it was a really bad joke about Robert. I don't know. But,
no, it's not.
I live 3 blocks from the scene of the crime, okay? Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, that first week, I never slept more than 3 hours in a row. You know, we organized our neighborhood watch, and my shift was 1 to 4 a.m. And then I'd have to go work a 10-hour shift after that. So that was fun. But I've come to the conclusion I've had to reexamine my own view. Because for the first while there, you know, we're just inundated with people all the time. You've been down here, you know that.
Yeah.
But a strange car pull up in front of my house, and black folks get out, and I go, oh, thank God, at least I know why they're here. And I'm going, that's screwed up after I've had time to think about it.
No, it's not. I don't think it's screwed up. I think it's actually it's a very intelligent observation about the situation we're in right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were having a meeting of the street group in the parking lot at the church behind my house, and these 4 guys pull up in a shiny new pickup truck, and their shaved heads all tatted out, and start taking our pictures.
I'm presuming it's Caucasian guys. You're talking white guys?
Yeah. And, you know, we just walked right up to them and like, what are you doing? And they claimed to be a security detail from NBC. which we didn't buy for a second. And we're like, okay, let's see some ID here. And they wouldn't do that. And one guy just said, well, I'm from Colorado. I don't care what happens here.
Oh, that's good. You know, and Steve, first of all, I'm glad your neighborhood is getting through it. And I appreciate your phone call and your thoughts on this. It's interesting. Remember when they, at the 4th Precinct protest a few years back, the guys that ended up shooting the protesters were white guys who wanted to play tough guy. And so they got their guns and they filmed themselves. Look at me. I'm in the heart of the beast here. Look at me, white guy. And finally, the crowd sort of said, these people are up to no good. They linked arms. They walked towards them. And these white guys, as opposed to just getting in their car and saying, okay, clearly I shouldn't be here. I'm just basically here as a harasser. They basically opened fire on them. The story, I mean, the U.S. Marshals, along with ATF, announced a 22-year-old suspect that has been arrested in connection with the fire set at the Minneapolis Police Department's 3rd Precinct last month. Dylan Shakespeare Robinson. You got to see a picture of this guy. He is, you know, 22-year-old white guy from Brainerd, if I'm not mistaken. He is being held without bond in Denver, scheduled to appear to court Tuesday afternoon on those charges. They go into details of what happened with George Floyd there. But, yeah, it was out in Breckenridge. He knows what happened. And whether or not he's part of some larger connection of white guys, and let's face it, a shocking amount of the trouble that happened in this city was white, young 20s, even late teens from the suburbs. There was one story, and I want to make sure I put a clarification out here. Fox 9 had released a story about a man from Rochester. The image they had with the story was not of an African-American man, but if you looked at the mugshot of the man who was arrested, he clearly was African-American, but still, once again, not from Minneapolis. Some guy from Rochester coming up here and starting fires. The amount of people that this is something that should not be downplayed. And you've seen it now in New Mexico. You've seen it in Los Angeles. You've seen it in other communities. These people that are coming into the communities. Ohio, they had one. People coming into the communities who are not from the community, who are there to basically try to start something. That's not Minneapolis. And shame on you. And excuse me. To anyone out there who is suggesting that is Minneapolis, burn in hell, you rotten bastards. Okay, good. We understand that? Good. No. Without a doubt, there were some people in the city that did some of the crimes. Undeniably. But this narrative is, look at the black people from Minneapolis all upset. And when every arrest so far looks like, you know, Kitty and Steve from the marina, for God's sakes. It's tiresome. I don't blame you for being tired. And to Steve and to everyone who lives down there, I don't blame you for being tired. But I will tell you something. It tells you everything right there, what Steve said. An African-American family pulls up into the neighborhood, and he knows, oh, they're here to pay respects to George Floyd. White skinheads show up, and you know, they're like, what the hell are you doing here? And they even admitted, yeah, I'm from Colorado. I'm here to cause trouble. And you know, I guarantee you this, Minneapolis police will not have any problem with the skin-headed white guys. No problem with them at all. What happened? Sometimes to heal, you have to go through a really bad time. And we're coming out of a bad time. But this city will get stronger. Don't fool yourself. There are elements out there. Like the guy, umbrella guy, which I posted about on the first day. The guy who literally started this all was over at the AutoZone over there by the 3rd Precinct, who is a white guy, full gear, you know, spray painted on the side of the building, who wants to loot, and then cracked open the windows. We still have no idea who that guy is. Have no idea who that guy is. But that wasn't a local. There are a lot of people who are not local there. And someone made the point, and I said this the other day, that if Minneapolis, as hard as this is, if Minneapolis is the catalyst for massive changes, well, That's good. That is good. As bad as what happened here is, if we can make some changes, that's good. And even Trump, he signed an executive order outlining his vision for police reform after the death of George Floyd. The executive order, according to senior White House officials, will focus on three areas: credentialing and certifying police officers, creating a database to track officers accused of misconduct and stopping them from going from one police force to another, and sending out social workers with law enforcement and calls which persons suspected of having mental health issues. The president on Monday gave scant detail on the new executive order, but he has done consistently. I thought they were going to have chokeholds in that. I thought chokeholds were going to be outlawed in that as well. Democratic-led House of Representatives has introduced a bill that would, among other measures, ban chokeholds, such as the one used by the officer on Floyd, would also ban no-knock warrants in drug cases and weaken qualified immunity to make it easier to prosecute criminal and civil action against police. The Republican-led Senate is expected to introduce its own version of the measure. My guess is Mitch McConnell will be the keep-up-the-good-work bill from the Republicans in the Senate. Asked about the legislative efforts on Monday, Trump said maybe they can get something passed, maybe they can't. There's the leadership that we've come to. Well, yeah. This is a tough year. This is a tough year. It was funny because I saw the story this morning of Shady Oak Beach, which is by my house over on the Minnetonka-Hopkins border. It's reopening. It's, you know, we talked about this when the beaches all around the metro, they said that they weren't going to open for the season. We said it's best they don't open at the beginning, and then if things get better, they can reopen later. But it brings up an interesting story of what this city can be. The other day, now to go home, I go up Shady Oak Road because they've been doing construction for the light rail on Crosstown. So when we had traffic, I would zip up Shady Oak Road, and I still do sometimes. And I'm driving up Shady Oak Road. As I'm going up Shady Oak Road, I look over at the beach, to the Shady Oak Beach, and the place is packed. Tons of people over there. I'm like, wow, they must have reopened it. I didn't see that. So I go over and tell my wife, hey, it looks like Shady Oak Beach is open. She's like, I wonder if we can renew our membership cards at the gate. Maybe you should. So she heads over. She gets there. It's not open. Like 100 kids have jumped the fence and are swimming. And by all accounts, one or two of them were even like keeping eye out as lifeguards to a point. And the police had come, and she was there, and police had come. And as minute they got there, all the kids ran out. But, you know, I want to, you know, give credit to the Minnetonka police and the Hopkins police, because the officers that didn't respond were not – they didn't tear gas them. They didn't rubber bullet them. They didn't nightstick them. They basically, all right, guys, get out of the pool. The kids all jumped the fence. And I was like, you know, there's a lot here to appreciate. Appreciate the fact that This was a coordinated effort to get into that swimming area, and they wanted to swim. You know, they wanted a cool, refreshing dip in the lake. That was going to happen. But also the restraint of the officers who didn't start clubbing kids, didn't start, you know, pepper spraying kids and tasering people because they just wanted to go swim. And yeah, it's not the best thing for people to be jumping fences, but you know what? It's summer in Minneapolis, and people are looking to blow off some steam. And at the end of it, it's a cute little story. The police show up, and I can just see the officers. All right, guys, go home. You know, set up the sprinkler in your yard, okay? Just don't do this again. And, you know, that's Minnesota. That's Minneapolis, St. Paul. And we can come back from this, and we will come back from this. And no matter what, I always love this town, and I always will love this town. That will never waver. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning knows it's June when us Minnesotans finally stop talking about how cold it is and start talking about how hot it is, which is the perfect time for Standard's Summer Is Here sale. During June, you can save $900 on a new air conditioner with payments as low as $47 a month or 0% financing. Find out more about these great savings at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake would like to say Pini Gigi for all your support these last 3 years. We discuss national and local Native news and events. Weekly correspondents bring us updates and information from all over Turtle Island.
Native Roots Radio I'm Awake is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Saturdays live 1 to 3. Free Leonard Peltier.
Howdy, Matt McNeil here, and I love Rudy Luther, and not just because of my love of the Toyota Sienna. I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example of that is the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle, which in turn makes me and many others very loyal Rudy Luther customers. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Whether it's storm damage from the past or a new issue that's popped up over the years, Snap Construction is the company we trust for all roofing, siding, windows, and exterior construction needs. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan has worked with many of our listeners and is excited to help more.
Thank you to all the listeners we have worked with and all the listeners at AM950 that we haven't had the opportunity to work with yet. This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. Safety of our homeowners and our team at Snap Construction has always been the utmost priority. We are still offering free, no-contact estimates. This summer at Snap Construction, we've rolled out a new referral program. Mention AM950 and we'll make a donation to the station in your name. Together, we can all work to ensure AM950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. Call for your free estimate today. 612-333-SNAP, 612-333-SNAP.
Thank you very much to Michael in Bellflower, California, Robert in Maple Grove, Ed in St. Paul, Patrick in Woodbury, Jeff in Lakeville, Linda in St. Louis Park, Lisa in St. Paul, Kirk in Coon Rapids, Stephen in Minneapolis, as well as also Marla in Farmington, Keith in Minneapolis, David in Duluth, and Deb in Minneapolis. Thank you very much. You guys are helping AM950 by becoming members. You too can become a member today. All you have to do is go over to our webpage, am950radio.com, click on the membership page. You can make a one-time donation or make an annual or a monthly payment, and we do appreciate either one of them. And of course, you become a member, helping to keep Progressive Radio on the air in Minneapolis, St. Paul through the 2020 election cycle. On top of that, we also have special members-only content, brand new stuff today, brand new stuff. If you are a member, you're going to have access to brand new interviews that we have not aired on the air. The only place you can hear them is on the members page. So become a member, get that great new content, and enjoy. Thank you very much from AM 950. Chris is in Chanhassen. He wanted to chime in on the police. Welcome on in, Chris.
Yeah, Matt, I just wanted to say that you mentioned Trump about the bills he signed and all that. Matt, I think, yeah, that's good he signed that, but didn't he kind of egg it on because he was giving a speech a couple of years ago in front of the police, and he said, oh, yeah, when you put him in the car, you got your hand over, so they don't get your head, remove the hand. So in a way, didn't he kind of egg this on? Didn't he kind of, like, give them free rein to say, hey, you know what, go do what you want?
Did Chris, and, also too, and Chris, really quick to that point, and then the police all cheered when he said, don't be so nice to them. Take your hand away. Let them hit their head on the top of the car. The police all cheered. And by the way, it was not a bill. It was an executive order that he signed. But go ahead. What was your second point?
My second point is, with him doing that. And then my second point was the guys that were in New York that he took out a full-page ad saying they should get the death penalty. They come out and find out that these guys didn't do that rape. And he never apologized for it.
Was it Central Park 5, right?
Yeah.
He's, you know, and Chris, thank you very much. And if you look at Trump's history, Trump has got a long, long history of racism. And let's just face it, that's his core base right now. Racists are the core base of Trump and the Republican voter. That's why they won't ever really, you know, it would be really easy after this to say anyone who's a racist pig needs to get out of the Minneapolis Police Department. Has any Republican said that? No, of course not. They need their votes. 952-946-6205. Let me get to a few of the Minnesota update for today. Minnesota is now meeting the three of the five dial-back targets that evaluate how the state is weathering the COVID-19 pandemic on whether it can ease up on restrictions designed to slow the spread of the infectious disease. Diagnostic tests have surged since the start of May above the state target of 50 tests per 100,000 people over 7 days to 138 tests per 10,000 people, according to the updates published on Tuesday morning in the state's COVID-19 dial-back dashboard. Health officials see those two statistics working together. By the way, the latest testing data showed a positivity rate of less than 4%. Putting those two statistics together with total testing volume ensured adequate surveillance and a low positivity rate suggesting a slower spread of the novel coronavirus that causes COVID-19. New figures from Minnesota Department of Health on Tuesday morning showed 429,145 diagnostic tests so far and lab confirmation of 30,882 cases. The health department also reported an additional 9 deaths from COVID-19, raising the total from the pandemic to 1,313, including 1,041 residents of long-term care facilities. COVID-19 cases continue to rise in more than 20 states, including Iowa, according to the National COVID Exit Strategy website. The dashboard, and by the way, it's now actually becoming pretty clear that these conservative states are not just, you know, they're not just hiding. They're outright trying their hardest to prevent people from finding out how bad the COVID-19 outbreaks are in their states. The rate of cases is doubling in Minnesota, has now slowed to 62 days, well below the state threshold of 7 days. State Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm said on Monday, and that was no longer meaningful of a dial-back measure. Minnesota is falling short on one of its self-imposed dashboard targets, though. Contact tracing investigations were unable to specify how people were infected in 34% of COVID-19 community exposures in the first week of June. That means the virus is still spreading beyond the ability of health officials to contain it by quarantining anyone with a known exposure risk. So this is the reason why you still wear a mask when you go on out. You still do social distancing when you go on out. The state's rate of – and by the way, and I should mention that that's a neat little stat there, that contact tracing. That is how countries like New Zealand were able to basically nip this in the bud. They were able to say, okay, who is around you? Well, these four people, okay, who is around them? All right, we kind of got this. And then they get all the people that have been exposed, kind of get them separated, let them the coronavirus run its course, and then you go from there. We basically, it's no big deal. It's the flu. It's a hoax. Trump will never live down calling coronavirus a hoax. I mean, come on, there are some things this guy has done which will live in infamy for as long as history. You know, getting spanked by a porn star weeks after his wife gave birth, the mocking of a disabled man, the Access Hollywood tape, and him insisting coronavirus is a hoax. Those will never go away. So I hope you as a Trump fan are ready for the rest of your life to defend him saying it was a hoax. But needless to say, some states or some countries did a very good job. We did a really bad job. And this is why this is going to be – we're a long way from being past this at this point. The state's rate of new hospital admissions is above the target of 4 per 100,000 people as well. The 7-day average of June 7th was 6.6 admissions. But that rate has been declining every day since mid-May, and the number of hospitalized patients declined even further in most recent weeks. The state listed 357 people with COVID-19 on Tuesday, including 185 who needed intensive care. That was down from 455 on June 7th and a peak of 606 on May 28th. So, once again, we're on the right trend here. Now, I do want to make sure we understand Minnesota showed up really poorly on these tests because we were testing locally in-state. Really badly. And we were testing badly because we were actually testing people as we should have from the get-go. So our numbers weren't diluted through a Republican, will this hurt Trump's feelings filter. And henceforth, we ended up, you know, getting a fair count of how bad it was. There are a lot of states where they haven't even started doing effective testing of their own people. And you know, this is the scary part, is that they can't keep this hidden. And Colbert said this, kind of was talking about this last night. You still have to take people's pulses, for goodness sakes. That you have multiple people in these communities who are saying, well, our hospital is starting to fill up with ICU patients. Where do we go once we have no ICU patients? And, you know, the Republicans are sitting there in these states going, all is fine, everything's fine. So it's, you know, it's getting better in Minnesota, but we are a long way away from getting this thing fixed. Let's get Gary on in here. Gary is in Minneapolis.
Yeah,
welcome.
I just got two other things. Okay. There's a whole list of Obama, or not Obama, sorry.
Okay.
What Trump will be remembered for.
Okay.
And what is the Central Park, where the Central Park five of them black kids that he said put them to death after they were found innocent.
Yep.
Completely. And the other one is just talking terrible to our allies, and he's driving them away from us and talking great how great these dictators like Kim Jong-il and the guy in Brazil and them, they're his buddies, you know, he says. It's just terrible.
Yeah, there is undeniably, Gary, thank you very much, undeniably, that Trump is, whoever the next president is going to be, is going to have to deal with the mess. Now, here's an interesting story. There has been some interesting stories about Trump's in trouble election wise. Well, first of all, I want to point out this. This is kind of bizarre. It's been a rough year for the American psyche. Folks in the U.S. are more unhappy today than they've been in 50 years. The conclusion comes from the COVID-19 response tracking study conducted by NORC at the University of Chicago. It finds just 14% of American adults say they're very happy, down from 31% who said the same thing in 2018. That year, 23% said they'd often or sometimes felt isolated in recent weeks. Now 50% of Americans say they feel isolated and they, you know, and alone at times. The survey conducted in late May draws on nearly one half century of research from the General Society Survey, which has collected data on American attitudes and behaviors at least every other year since 1972. No less than 29% of Americans have ever called themselves very happy in that survey. So the last time we did this survey in 2018, it was 31% said they were very happy. The lowest it ever got on that survey was 29%. We're at 14%. That tells you everything. And it's an interesting side note because Trump supporters are actually really starting to get stressed out. And it comes down to the fact that, let's just be honest, people like Trump because they feel he owns the libs. He insults them. Like when he is saying, you know, when Mexico's not going to say pay for the wall, we just added 10 feet. And all of his supporters started jumping for joy. Oh, my God, what a great thing. He's really giving it to the libs. That is why they like him. There's no other reason unless you're a racist or an incredibly wealthy person. Those people, I understand why they like Trump. But for everyone else, it's just because he owns the libs, putting them in the place. But the problem is when you have a massively incompetent president that has all these bad things that are going on, owning the libs, bullying, and what it is you know, banking on your like of your perceived enemies being bullied by Trump only goes so far because, you know, hey, your grandma just died, but Trump's owning the libs? Oh, you've lost your job because coronavirus had to shut down the economy and your business never came back. But you're going to own the libs? Oh, there's racial unrest and rioting in your city, and it's scary how militarized the police are. Libs? No, not really. You get to a point where everything is crashing around you, and the pettiness, the smallness, the bullying that you like from Trump, that's not enough to keep you warm at night anymore. And so the Republicans, they're basically having a real big problem in Iowa right now. President Trump in 2016 won Georgia by 5 points, North Carolina by less than 4, Arizona by about 3, and Florida by slightly more than 1 point. Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania were even closer than less than 1 point separated Trump and Hillary Clinton in each. A shift on the electorate of only 5 points would have swept all those states into Clinton's column. Now imagine what would happen if there was a 9-point shift from Trump. That's not out of the question. In the latest Des Moines Register poll, Trump is ahead by a point, a statistical tie, over former Vice President Joe Biden. Trump won Iowa in 2016 by about 10 points. If a 9-point shift occurs nationwide, Biden would not only win North Carolina, Arizona, Florida, Minnesota, Michigan, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, but also Texas and Ohio. In other words, Trump would be thrashed. Republicans would be down ballot races, would suffer massive losses. There is going to be a push, somewhat by the media. Media doesn't like when elections get become rounds. The media doesn't like that. They like making their money. They make a ton in Iowa. They make a mint off of election cycles. They don't like it when one candidate is way ahead of the other candidate, because then all of a sudden no one's buying ads. There's no need to buy ads. That's their Christmas bonus. That's their fishing trip. They need that money. So mark my words, there's going to be a push at some point saying, this is looking a lot closer than it really is. Right now, Trump, because of his policies the last three years, white women have turned on him pretty much universally across the country. What is amazing is Trump and the Republicans demand that old people go out and die of coronavirus. Finally, I think someone might have realized through the polling of the elderly that they're not too fond of being basically put on the Viking ship and set afire and pushed out into the lake. They're not big fans of that. And so they basically have started to turn on Trump in big numbers too. So if the younger vote and the older vote and the female vote and pretty much the entire minority vote are against Trump, and even in his vaulted white male category, his numbers are down dramatically. Well, how are you going to get a guy who is the most narcissistic, self-centered, arrogant jackass in the history of American politics to all of a sudden become Mr. Universal Appeal? Wait, maybe you can send out one of his lackeys like, oh, I don't know, Kellyanne Conway or Sebastian Gorka. Oh, yeah, they'll resonate with the rest of us. You vote. We're all voting. We are all freaking voting this year. We are all voting. And we're going to send all these guys home. We'll send all these guys home. 952-946-6205. By the way, that article quoting the numbers, that's from the conservative columnist at the Washington Post. The conservative calling it. Wow. We'll get some music to kick us out today. Well, take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's show is all about the Supreme Court's decision recognizing that LGBTQ people are entitled to equal employment. I start off with my reaction and thoughts. The big interview is with attorney Marshall Tanik, who gives us the legal take on the case. And in my C block, I talk about hope and the promise of America. Yes, hope. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I speak nationally and internationally on the subjects of entrepreneurship, trades reform, apprenticeship, craftsmanship, and coding science. I've created a rigorous apprenticeship program where I find, train, inspire, and mentor young people in my craft. The result is an ultra-professional crew of craftspeople that cares about their work and your project. We're not like other contractors. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com. That's NickSlavik.com to learn more.
Next Chapter Booksellers is the perfect gift idea for Dad this Father's Day. Whether the dad on your list likes baseball, barbecues, or biographies, Next Chapter Booksellers can help you find just the right book to make his Father's Day a special occasion. Plus, Next Chapter even sells cards and puzzles. Call them daily between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. to talk to a bookseller. They love making recommendations. That's 651-225-8989. or nextchapterbooksellers.com.
By the way, good news for us, Patrick. They have taken some of the state fair food booths and they have placed them around the metro area, including, I believe, there's a mini donut place over not far from us here. Did you see that?
I have seen this. I haven't found out all the locations of these things, though.
There's a mini donut place, about a state fair mini donut place within walking distance of here. We got it. We'll have to bring that up. The only problem is, you know where the nearest Pronto Pump is?
How far? I'm guessing St. Paul somewhere?
Faribault.
Oh.
It's a little bit of a haul. Got to get more Pronto Pups around, kids. All right? I know there's a lot of people that are depressed. I know there's a lot of people that are sad. But I want you to try to do me a favor. I want you to go find some place. Whether it's in your own house, out in your yard, go for a hike in the woods, go for a hike downtown, do the Heritage Trail downtown, or go up to Pilot Knob, at the end of Pilot Knob, and go up and look at that city and remind yourself of all the positive that you've got. Try. And I'm not going anywhere. I love this city. I'm not leaving. Make a commitment. Shake off the negativity we've been under, and we look forward to a very successful November where we take this country back. Taking us out today, Allison Krauss. This is from Old Brother, Where Art Thou? Have a good one. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh,